Tonight we're going to be discussing, amongst other topics, we'll be discussing the halachas of Shechion on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. You know, new fruit or not new fruit, that is the question. And we're going to be discussing interesting shaila as well about if a shul doesn't have a shofar at all, and then only once they send the messenger to get hold of a shofar in the neighboring village or city, and the shliach goes and he tries to get a shofar, but only comes back when it's ready. When the Olam accepted the Reddy Shabbos, what should they do? Should he blow? Should he not blow? Or a bit of a uncomfortable situation. But that we're going to be discussing this Mishnah as well, in Mitzvah Hashem. And then we'll be discussing an interesting topic of not eating grapes, the meaning of not eating grapes on Rosh Hashanah and other soury type of foods. All that will be discussed amongst other Mitzvahs in tonight's Shir. Simon Tovkuf Tzadik Ches, Voisif Echad. Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah, which falls on Shabbos. Oymrim tzitkoscha b'mincha. Don't forget to say tzitkoscha during mincha. V'yesh oym sheloy le'omroi. And the Rama says the minig is not to say. V'chein onu noyagim. That's the minig in Kirk of the Rama. And that's our minig as well. Indeed, not to say tzitkoscha b'mincha if it's on Shabbos. Simen tofkuf tzaditesu v'oysev echad. Leil Rosh Hashanah shechal yis b'matzah Shabbos. Oymrim todi einu. If the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, and the second night is Motzeh Shabbos, you're going to say V'toyd Yeinu on the Shemoyne Esre of Motzeh Shabbos, second night, Rosh Hashanah. Fair enough. Okay, Simon Tov Reish. Beitzeh Shenol Debi Rosh Hashanah V'dinei HaKiddush. Beitzeh Shenol Debi Yontef HaRishin. Okay, we know there's a halacha that if a egg is born, is laid, that's the better English, no? If egg, yeah? Then the halacha is, and I learned this in Maseches Beitzah, that it's best to say the egg is laid. My English is from, no, you don't say laid, you say born. Yeah. The halacha generally is that Beitzah Shenol Debi Yom Tov HaRishon, if on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, an egg is laid, and on the, excuse me, with regards to regular Yom Tovim. Regular Yom Tovim, if you've got an egg that is laid on the first day, on the second day, it won't be Muktzah. Now, an egg that is normally laid is Muktzah. We'll have to go in stages. Egg that is laid is Muktzah, because it's considered, it's Neuland, it's Muktzah, and because it wasn't around, therefore it's considered Muktzah on the day that it's created, that it's laid. Second day Yom Tov, the halacha is, it's permitted. Why is it not Muktzah? So the Gemara explains, because of the following reason. Second day Yom Tov really doesn't exist midrashe. Min haTorah, there's no 2 days Yom Tov. So let's, if the first day is Yom Tov and the egg was laid on the first day, then the second day is what midrashe? What is the second day? Weekday. So it's not Muktzah. How can it be Muktzah? It's not. If yesterday was Yom Tov, then today it's not Muktzah. So I can use it. I can use it. What if the second day, if it was laid on the first day, and the second day is really Yom Tov, and the first day is not Yom Tov, and the second day is Yom Tov, and the first day wasn't Yom Tov, what's the halacha then? Then it should also be able to use it. Why? Because he was born on a weekday, so surely this shouldn't be Muktzah on the second day. So therefore, either way, whatever happens, an egg that is laid on the first day, you can always use it on the second day. That's Beitzah Shenol Debi Yom Tov, Muteres B'Sheni. Now, what about Rosh Hashanah? Exactly. It's one day. It's all Yom HaRichter. It's all considered one long day. And therefore, says the Mechaber Beitzah Shenol Debi Yom Tov HaRishon, an egg that is laid on the first day, V'chein Mashenitzet Boy, and also anything that is gathered, that is caught, V'chein Mashenitlash Boy, everything which is Nitlash, which is cut, also B'Sheni is also on the second day. Why? Because of Yom HaRichter, Rosh Hashanah is unlike any other Yom Tovim. And that's what Mishnah Berurah explains of Intzif Cotton Aleph. Also B'Sheni, last line. Afal Gavde B'Sha Yom Tov Muta B'Sheni, although on any other Yom Tov, it's permitted on the second day. Why? Mikoyach B'mon Avshach, because either way, as we explained earlier, either way the second day should be permitted. As explains, top line of page 138. Im Yom Rishnu Koidash. If the first day was Yom Tov, HaSheni Uchoil, then the second day is weekday, then it's fine, you can use it. V'mashayni koydish, if the second day was weekday, was Yom Tov, HaRishna Yechol, then he was born on, was laid on a weekday. Hach also, here it's also, the travaya chade kdushtahui. Both, as you're saying very correctly, both days are considered, the kdusha richter are considered one long extended, Yom Tov, and therefore on Rosh Hashanah, everything which is also on the first day is going to remain also on the second day. Right, okay, that leads us to Seif Beis. Let me just finish those words. Nispal Elzim Kofuf Gimel Tzifei Sim Tovkut Tazvav. Okay, Seif Beis. Bekiddush Leil Sheni. Okay, Kiddush on the second night Rosh Hashanah. What about the first night Rosh Hashanah? Do we say Shechionu? First night? First night for sure we do. What about the second one? So, Kiddush Leil Sheni. Second night's Kiddush. Yilbash Beget. He should wear a Yilbash Beget Chadosh. He should put on brand new clothes. Meniach, oi meniach pri chadosh, oi should put on the table a fruit, new fruit. Ve oi man, he should say shechionu. He should say shechionu either with a new beget or a new pri, a new fruit. Ve mein matzui, beget chadosh e pri chadosh. If he can't get hold of a new clothes, a new garment or a new fruit, Im kolze, nevertheless, yoima, he should say, shehecheyonu. Okay, so let's get that clear. What about on a regular second day Yom Tov? Do you say shehecheyonu?
Yeah.
You do? Why? That's right, shtei kedushas, because we say shehecheyonu on every new Yom Tov, we need to say shehecheyonu, because of the day. The day requires and needs a shehecheyonu. Okay, so that's why we're going to make Shechionu on the first day Yom Tov. Now the second day Yom Tov, we're also going to say Shechionu, because could be that today is the real Yom Tov.
It's not only could be, it's that today is the
real. Very good, that's right. So Chumim really, my wording wasn't very accurate, wasn't very precise. You're quite right, the Chumim have established the second day Yom Tov. We assume or we pretend that it's a real doubt, and therefore we're going to make a Shechionu on the second day as well. So again, every second day, Yom Tov, you're going to make a Shechionu. Do you need any new clothes or any new peres or anything like that? The answer is, no, you don't need to, right? So unlike some who, for some reason, think, yeah, there's no need whatsoever on the second day Sukkah, second day Pesach, there's no shaila about it. You don't need to bring a new fruit or a new thing. Okay. What about Rosh Hashanah? So Rosh Hashanah is a bit more complex. Why is Rosh Hashanah more complex? Because what? That's right. It might not be considered Sveka D'Yoyma. Because if it's Kedusha Arichta, it's considered one extended day. Remember that on Rosh Hashanah, on Eretz Yisrael, you also keep 1 day, you also keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It's different, right? Yoyim Arichta. Yoyim Arichta. So therefore, there is reason to say that you can't make Shechion on the second day Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, how do we solve this problem? How do we solve this problem? We're going to solve this problem by getting a new fruit or a new cloth that you need to make Shechionu on that. Now, I must point something out. Reb Shlomo Zalman points this out, actually. Do you know what happens normally when people get a new garment or they take a new fruit on the second Rosh Hashanah and then you say, you have kavanah on that? What happens normally? What's the normal? When you say Shechionu, what do you think about? You think about the fruit. Do you only think about the fruit? I think many people would. Right, you're going to think about the new fruit. But that's not really the idea. The idea is, as the Mishnah Berurah points out over here, Besif cotton base, lehoitzi menafshe meplukta, to take you away from the machloikis, mishum sheyesh oimim, some say she'enoim shechionu, the travayoim makdush achasi. Some say that you don't say shechionu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Varek va'aber shechionu b'mereshin, he said shechionu on the first day already. Some say you can't say shechionu on the second day. So what do we do to solve this problem? Just in case you can't say shechionu, we bring a new fruit or a new garment that requires shechionu on its own. But what some people do, they think about the new garment or the new clothes when they say Shechionu, which is good. You need to think about that as well as about maybe the Shechionu. Really, we are trying to find a bridge to make Shechionu on the day. So really, I'm going to make on the day. Now, we're not sure if we can make on the day, so you should also have in mind the new fruit or the new baguette. But you know, can't just think about, if you're just thinking about the new fruit, it's the only thing you've got in mind, the new fruit and the new clothes, you actually, you're back to square one. You haven't really solved the problem, because we want to try to make Shechionu not just on a Beged Chodosh, on a Pri Chodosh. You're trying to make Shechionu on the day, in Kiddush. So that's does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah, does that make sense? So really, you have to have both in mind. You should have, in case, ideally you should have in mind, in case I can't make Shechionu on the day, let me be Yotz the Shechionu with the fruit that I'm putting and I'm placing on the table. Yeah, so I think that's ideally what you should say. That's, I'm just quoting Avshalom Zalman. Okay, the question which I want to discuss at this point is, so what are we doing exactly? So we're making on the second day of Shana, we're making Shechionu. How do people generally make Shechionu? Do you buy yourself a new hat or a new suit? What do you do normally? A new fruit, right? I think that's many. Yeah, right. So by the way, what fruit are you going to put on what fruit? For some, apple is good enough, I suppose. But
one of the simanim that you've never seen before.
Right, something I've never seen before, yeah. Some people have the minig to actually make a shechion on a rimoin, on a pomegranate, which is fair enough, it's nice, but just make sure if you do that, just make sure you didn't put it on the table yesterday, on the first day. Well, whatever you're going to make a Shechionu on the second day, whatever you want, just make sure it's not on the table yesterday. Because if it was on the table yesterday, then you can't make a Shechionu anymore. Yeah, right. So some people are not going to use it for the sim on the first night. Okay, fair enough. If they wish to do so, it's fair enough. But then make sure it's not on the table when you're making, you know, that you can't make Shechionu. You can't make Shechionu once it was on the table. Yeah? It depends on which fruit. Generally, you're right. It's a bit problematic, a little bit, with the Shechionus nowadays, because what is really, with regards to seasonal fruit, what is considered seasonal fruit, nowadays everything is being, exactly, I mean, so it's a bit different nowadays. But I just want to get to the following point. So let's say you put that fruit on the, okay, you're going to put that, can you give me some really exotic fruit, please?
Guava.
I'm really bad, what?
Guava.
Guava? Guava, pardon?
Dragon.
Oh, dragon, yeah, I had those ones, yeah. They weren't very tasty. Yeah, okay, I don't know what it tasted like before, it was just foreign to me, so I don't know if I would have made the bochen in the first place, but anyway, so fine, see, you put this dragon guava, you're going to put this on the table, and you're going to make, okay, now, on second day Rosh Hashanah, okay, you say Shechionu, say, if it requires generally a Shechionu, that's what's, subconsciously, that's what's going in my mind, if the Yom Tov deserves a Shechionu, then fine, so leave out that dragon thing. And if I can't make a Shechionu for the Yom Tov because Yom HaRichter, then I'm going to use the Shechionu. The Shechionu that I make, the Shechionu that I'm making, should be on that fruit that is now on the table. Okay. Now, when am I eating this fruit? I'm making Kiddush, and then what happens?
You don't eat it now
until
after
Mitzvah. Right. So I'm not going to be... Well, everybody agrees to that? When am I going to eat that fruit? When are you eating it?
Dessert.
You're going to keep it for dessert? When are you eating the fruit? You're making Shechionu now, and when are you gonna eat it? Are you saying Beged is better? We're gonna get to the Beged. We're gonna get to the good. I'm Dval talking about fruit. I want to speak about fruit. I want to speak about Beged soon, Mitzvah Shem. Okay, so I'll tell you what Reb Shlomo Zalman did. Reb Shlomo Zalman was really concerned about this. Does the question make sense? When are you gonna? Yeah, question makes sense. So Reb Shlomo Zalman did the following. Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "Well, you can't make Shechionu now and then eat it a half an hour later." So that makes no sense whatsoever. So Shlomo Zalman made Kiddush, and he made the Shechionu, and straight after Kiddush, after having a bit of the wine, straight after that, he would eat the fruit, the Shechionu fruit. And that's what Shlomo Zalman did. Why? Because of Shechionu issues. I believe, and Shlomo Zalman was very strong-minded about this. He really felt you need to do that, because you can't make Shechionu and then afterwards go and wash, make hamotzi, have your challah, and then have the shechion. He says, that makes no sense. Say, come on, who are you trying to fool over here? Reb Shlomo Zalman was really unhappy about it, and that's what Reb Shlomo Zalman did. He was very strong. However, I firmly believe that's not the minhag generally. What do you think, Abbo Isai? I think that people don't do that. I think that people generally, what do you think? Right, I think what people generally do you agree? No, what do you think? What do people do? They're going to wash, have a mitzvah, and then eat the Shechion, right? So the question is really how to explain the minig rather than to...
From a halacha reason, what? Is it a halacha reason that they won't want to do it? Or standards, they don't feel like doing it?
I wonder. Yeah, but see, my assumption is always that my grandparents knew what they were doing. Why? Because they probably did the same thing their grandparents, and they did again the same thing. These kinds of things, There is some obscure halachas, you know, if exactly, I'm a bit saying if it's like some obscure halachas in Shiluach HaKan, then, you know, maybe, you know, there might not be such strong mesos with regards to Mitzvah's Marka, maybe. I can hear that, you know. But with regards to how the table was, how the Suda was run on Rosh Hashanah, you know, I firmly believe this was something that we can generally, we are trying to justify a minik that was been going on for, you know, I think it's hard to just say they didn't know what they were talking about. Yeah.
It could just be that the Shulchan Aruch paskens anyway, you say Shehechianu. So this whole thing with the fruit that you're doing in the first place is not because halakhically you have to do it that way. You know, you're using the fruit as well, just as a kind of a secondary kind of thing. So even if it's not exactly afterwards, it's not really...
Right. You have to have, I hear what you're saying, but the point still has to be a little bit understood that it has to work halakhically, this... It's true that we were basing ourselves mainly on the Shehechianu of the day, but that alternative, I'm saying, if it's not working for the day, then how is it working? It has to still work somehow. So how does it?
Yeah.
We're going to go quite close to that. You're just reminding me, pardon?
Sfardim eat, like my grandparents have, like olives and pickles, before Hamotzi, especially to make a bracha for 100 brachas.
Oh, very nice.
I just think that the Shulchan Aruch said that you should have a fruit, but the Rama, who was only having said you should have a beggar than not a fruit.
Right. That's interesting, yeah. Yeah, I actually want to talk about it. Reb Gideon, when do you make the Shehechianu on second day of Rosh Hashanah? Shehechianu second night Rosh Hashanah, right? So you make Shehechianu by Kiddush. And then afterwards you're going to have, what fruit do you use?
Second
night? I don't know, some passion fruit, some... You're going to use the pomegranate. I see some people talk about the pomegranate. Just make sure not to use it for the first night. Yeah, otherwise you can't make Shehechianu. Okay, so you're going to use that on the second night. Now you're going to make Shehechianu during Kiddush. When are you going to eat that pomegranate?
Dessert.
So how does the Shehechianu last for so long? So it's on this. You're saying it's on the table. So you made Shehechianu on the singing.
It's on Yom Tov.
Pardon? Ik is on Yom Tov. Yeah, so that's reminds a bit similar to what you're saying. Yeah, but it has to work still halachically. So the emes of Shlomo, I'm just mentioning, Shlomo Zalman was very makpid to mamash after Kiddush go and eat it straight away before washing, because he said the Shehechianu can't last so long. The Shehechianu has to work somehow. And you have to, but I think the minig is not like that. And Pasht, so some want to say that you could delay it straight. You could eat it after Hamotzi. That's what they say. You can't eat after Hamotzi. And the reason is because it's not considered the Hefsek, because it's all part, so the poskim say, that it's all part of the Kiddush type of, you know, you make Kiddush, you're going to wash, you have Hamotzi, you have Challah, and then it's all part of the, imagine what makes a really long Kiddush. Exactly. That's exactly the crunch. That's the bottom line of it. It's Hasa Chadas because it's all part of the process. So, but therefore, there is no problem of delaying it, because it's all part. After Hamotzi, you have it. That's what the poskim say. However, according to that mahalach, you won't be able to delay it mamash until the end of the meal. You have to have it after Hamotzi. You can't push it all the way until you had your dessert and then your tea and cake, and then you can't go that far. You will have to have it after Hamotzi. I think that's what some people have the minik to mamash to be makpid to have it straight after Hamotzi. Yes. It depends a bit what, but generally yes. Generally yes. Yes. You mean that as not if even if at the end of the meal? No, that's not good enough. Because Shehechianu still has to be chal on something.
But as long as it's on the table and you eat it after
Hamotzi, that's yes. Correct. Okay. Now I just want to mention as well one more little point about this, which is the following Shaila. What about our wives? They made a Shehechianu ready by Hadlokas Neiros. When they lit the candles, they made a Shehechianu. So what happens when they hear Shehechianu during Kiddush? Should they refrain from saying Omein, from answering Omein during our Kiddush, because they've made the Shehechianu? This would be like a problem of a Hefsek or something if they say Omein in the middle of to answer to our Shehechianu in our Kiddush?
I remember you saying about that it's not a Hefsek to say Omein, like someone's made Hamotzi to say Omein afterwards.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah, good Sushtel, very good comparison, yeah. What do you think? Would you tell your wife, don't say Omein? What do you think? Don't say Omein Shehechianu because it's a Hefsek. She's made her own Shehechianu.
Order on the brachas on Kiddush, second night? You order on the brachas when you say Shehechianu.
With
Kiddush. on the second night, when Goffin, Shechiana, what's the order of the Rochas?
Goffin, Kiddush,
and Shechiana is last. No wonder, maybe you could argue it is a Hefsek, because she's heard Kiddush, and she's waiting to drink the Kiddush, and now there's an extra bracha in the middle between the drinking of the Kiddush.
She shouldn't.
And her Goffin, I don't think that's the halacha, but it's.
You're saying that it would make sense to say.
Maybe there's a reason to question that, to say on main.
Right.
Because there is. It's not like the brachas first. There is that's in between the kiddush and the drinking.
Right.
That being said, I'm not making the bracha, and for me it's not a hefsek because it's my kiddush, and she's being
very good
yotze with me.
Beautiful.
So therefore, the hefsek will be toyed up whatever is going on with me, presumably.
Beautiful. What you are saying is word by word exactly what Rav Vozner says, but how much word by word? So let's go slow. Rav Eliashiv and other poskim actually say that ideally, tell your wife not to say amen. Ideally, because it is a bit of a hefsek. But right. But some question this, and they say that if you're going to start, tell your wife amen. Yes, not amen. Yes, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos. It gets very quickly confusing. I know a younger man who had some who after Chasna. He heard about this psak of Eliashiv. It was freshly married. He told his wife to say, you know what, we're going to be makbid on this. Try not to say amen. And he's myself, yeah. It gets all confusing. When to say amen, not to say amen. And it was exactly what Vosner said. You know, don't do it because you're just going to confuse everything. And it's true. It's just, you know, yes, no, yes, amen, not amen. Everything gets one big muddle up. So the Rav Eliashiv does say, if somebody can keep chashvan, when to say amen and when not, then yes, ideally you're makbid on a problem of hefsek potentially, but otherwise, if you think not, you can rely on the svara of Vozna, the moment you are saying that since the svara of Vozna is that since this is all my kiddush, so as far as it's for me, it's not a hefsek. For me, it's the right kiddush. So obviously, she can say amen because for me, it's not hefsek. So obviously, she can answer amen to that. And that is the minig why people are not makbid on that. Yeah.
Is there a havamina that when she lights the candles and says shekhiyonu, that's a shekhiyonu on a kiddush?
Yeah, Pashtus, it's the same. It's on the Yom. The Kiddush, the rule is that the Shechionu of Adlokas Neiras is the same Shechionu then of Kiddush, really. Because it's on the Yom, on this man. Yeah.
So how did Rav Shlomo Zalman deal with that in regards to the lady having fruit?
That's a good question. I assume, but I'm not 100% convinced about that. I couldn't find exactly. I assume he told his wife not to make Shechionu. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman was anyway not all too excited about the Shechionu of Adlokas Neiras. Anyway, with different areas, I assume that's what he did, but I don't know for sure.
If there isn't anything else to say Shechionu on, what do we do?
V'imein motzi says Shulchan Aruch, if you don't have anything else, you don't have a... Im kol zeh, nevertheless, Yom HaShechionu should say Shechionu.
Okay. No.
This is
Minag HaSfaradi. Yeah. Yeah, you can make. You could. That's not a problem. Yeah. Now, over here the Mishnah Berurah says a few interesting halachas. One is about Shechion with regards to clothes. I mean, it's like comes in the middle of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. We're getting a halacha of Shechion on clothes. That's really interesting. Sifkot and Gimel, Mishnah Berurah says, Beget Chodosh, after Besimen Reish Chav Gimel, Pasuk de Beshas Akin Yesh Lo Levorech. Although generally, with regards to clothes, he said, you could make Shechion on clothes. He said, normally we learn, when you make Shechionu on new garments, he said, when you're buying it, says the Mishneh Berurah. So how can you make Shechionu over here? Because you've bought it already. So do you make Shechionu when you're buying it or when you're wearing it? What's going on? So Mishneh Berurah answers, Hosamayk Shekonu Malbush Mochon. Over there it's talking about when you're buying a clothes which is totally ready, totally fine, you can just put it on and it fits like perfectly, then you make the bracha when you're actually purchasing it. Because that's when the simcha is, when you're purchasing it. And over here we're talking about you bought a material, you gave it to a tailor, a saknoi, to finish it off. Then the simcha is not when you're purchasing it, because you're not excited to just see a piece of material. It doesn't get you great simcha. Only when it's complete, when it's totally finished, and that's when you're going to put it on, and that's when you make the bracha. So again, according to Mishneh Berurah, you only make Shechionu You make shechianu when you're buying something which fits perfectly. Doesn't have to be seen. You don't have to give it to a tailor at all. You don't have to shorten it, lengthen it. You don't have to do anything. Then you actually make shechianu when you're buying it. However, if you first, it has to be seen to a little bit, and you're only then putting it on, then you'd make a bracha when you're actually putting it on. Why is that? What do you mean?
The only thing is, one time you say that like it's when you're wearing it. One time you say that it's when you buy it. So I'm saying it's very.
What's the chilek? Well, the misvara.
The remark says you make a
right.
You
I hear, but the svara makes a lot of sense. Actually, the svara makes a lot of sense. What is actually right. The simcha? That's the now I must point something out. Talking about shechionu on garments, everybody agrees you don't make shechionu on garments if they're non-important garments. If you buy yourself a new sock. Everybody agrees you don't make shechionu. And everybody agrees to that. The question gets a little bit more complex with regards to expensive clothes. A suit or like even shirts, everybody agrees you're not going to make shechionu. When it comes to like a suit or something like that, which is more expensive. I must say that, does everybody make shechionu here? You make shechionu? On a suit, you're going to make shechionu. You're going to make shechionu on a suit? There is a svar which is bought in the poskim. I thought of that a while ago, and I checked with a few dayanim, because my understanding is, from a historical context, how was a suit made until some 50 years ago, or even less? How was a suit made? You went to a tailor. Like my mother tells me, that she remembers clearly how the tailors, how you choose the material yourself, how you chose the material, and you went to a tailor. And I'm not talking about, this is my grandfather, this is, you know, I'm not talking about hundreds of years ago. There was no such thing that was very rare, or maybe was just less common, or maybe was, I mean, 100 years ago, for sure non-existent. You don't go just to a shop and there was like Marks and Spencer, like 38, and like within sage 30, size 38, like 12 undersections, and those undersections have got undersections. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing. So you just go to tell and you'd see to it. So therefore, consequently, based on that historic, putting the historical concept, and obviously to have a suit is a great simcha. Because how often would you buy a suit? I heard somebody told me that he remembers that his father said that he'd buy a suit, and when he was worn out, he'd change to the other side. You just flip it over to the other side. And when that was worn out, you change back to the original. So that happened until not so long ago. So nowadays, how often do we buy? You know, we buy a few times a year. So therefore, the simcha of even expensive clothes is far less than a simcha than you'd get in the early days of a suit. I don't know how often they buy a suit. I'm not sure how often they buy a suit. So therefore, everybody agrees that non-important clothes, everybody agrees on important, you don't make shechionu. There is a bit of discussion amongst the contemporary poskim if you can still make a shechionu on important clothes. Many still do, and they're not mechalek. They say ultimately it's still nice, and then you buy yourself a nice suit, still costs so and so much money, there's a certain simcha, and many are totally perfect. Look, it's not even a shayla of safek brach, etc. So some are very happy. Other poskim are a little bit more reluctant, and they put in a little bit more historical context, and they're saying they're a bit more reluctant to do. However, I must agree, when it comes to a shaitel or something which is really, really expensive, or things like that, then everybody agrees you can make. It's just that clothes nowadays has a reduced chshivas and in previous generations. So some are a little bit more reluctant. But it's fruit, very good point. What about fruit? So fruit is a little bit different because fruit has to do with the sea. Fruit, even if you're not excited about your dragon fruit, nevertheless you can make shechion on it because there's something seasonal. Fruit goes in a different parasha. Chachomim were mesakn, you can make shechion on a fruit if it's seasonal, even if you're not excited about it. Could be, the reason is, because it represents it's a deeper meaning to it, because it's seasonal, and you see how the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, changes the seasons, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, could be something deeper to that, but the halach is certainly that even you're not excited about food, you can make shechionu.
Didn't we learn something about it, because it's using another concept, the word zaman, and that's why we couldn't say shechionu on something like that?
I don't remember what you're referring to, I'm just not clear, I don't remember.
But as regards to the beged, what's a zaman?
Right. When we make shechionu, interesting, the Mishnah really teaches us that you can make shechionu on something which caused you great sin. I'm pleased I've come to the stage. I can buy myself a new suit and I can now. What actually you're reminding me something interesting. Shlomo Zalman said to his Talmidim always on before Rosh Hashanah, told me, when you're going to make Shechion Rosh Hashanah, don't just think about the fruit and don't just think about Kiddush. Think about how great it is that Moshe has blessed you with another year. He says, you put it in the greater, you're beginning of the year, you know, thank Hashem for the having made it through the whole year. Last year, you were in danger, Hashem gave you a bench the year, and you're healthy, and you've got money, and you've got children, you've got, partner. You know, you should put that in a greater picture. Upshem Zami used to say, it's Talmidim. Yeah. Yes. This is more of a remes type of thing. It's not halachically so much, but yeah.
How does this work then with this Mishnah Berurah we just learned about clothing? When today you do black, what do you prepare?
So therefore, I'm talking about even after the post Mishnah Berurah.
I'm saying this Mishnah. According to the opinions, you can make shechel on a beged. This Mishnah Berurah seems to say that you can only make shechel on it when you purchase it. And the only time you could do it when you actually wear it is if you've had it all in Mishnah Berurah. So today, presumably, you couldn't. You have to make the shechel when you buy it.
Well, you might as well shorten it.
If you don't shorten it...
If you don't, you're just ready to...
It comes in your size and you
purchase. Yeah, there will be a problem. You're 100% right. Yeah, you are right. I must say, so let me just rephrase this. The point mentioned is that if you are really buying a suit nowadays, and that's how you're going to make shechion, I think most people are actually going to get a fruit, right? But I'm saying if you're going to have a suit and you want to make shechion on the suit on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, okay? So the question is, well, you bought it and it was ready to wear. So, when should you make Shechionu? Should you make Shechionu when you bought it? Because Mishnah Berurah just taught us that you're only going to make Shechionu when you wear it if it had to be changed. But if it didn't have to be changed, if it didn't have to be, then you're going to make Shechionu when you buy it. So what's going on over here? The answer to your question is that even Mishnah, everybody agrees that you can still make a shechionu, as long as you still have simcha in it. You could. It's not ideal. Ideally, you should make the shechionu, according to this, when you purchase it. But you'd be able to delay it. But the Mishnah Berurah is obviously not so happy about that. Right. That's an interesting point, shatnas testing. Yeah, that's an interesting point, shatnas testing. Yeah, but that's not going to be considered choshev enough shinui that you'll be able to yeah. Yeah, they do.
So that's being altered.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not as significant. It's just for the purpose of the mitzvah, purpose of checking, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you saying that in my state it's not usable beforehand. That's a valid point. That's an interesting point. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's an interesting point. I agree with that. I didn't think of that, but it's true. So you're saying that even according to Mishnah Berurah, you should be able to wait until it's actually physically usable. I hear. It's a good point. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Because I got young children, and because I can't afford to keep going to the dry cleaner, I'm buying 100% polyester machine double dry.
Very sensible indeed.
And I get them online, and they get sent to me. So I'm not going to make check-in on any of them.
Right.
And I can't remember what fruits are made check-in on Tibish, about 15 of them. I even remember
yeah. try to get something you're pretty sure you haven't made Shechionu, and if you don't remember, it's well over time. I didn't realize.